Welcome to this edition of Face to Face, where this week we're discussing what has been for a decade both a sensitive and controversial topic. 9/11, what was behind the falling of those buildings? We are joined by Richard Gage, who's been an architect for over two decades. Founding member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Can you very briefly tell me, what is the main premise of the work that you're doing?
Well, we have 1,500 architects and engineers who are demanding a new investigation, one that accounts for all of the evidence that we haven't seen in the official reports from NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. We want a new investigation that accounts for the molten metal seen at the base of the three skyscrapers, not just two, that collapsed on that day. The evidence of extreme temperatures throughout all the dust that settled, and the evidence for the free-falling World Trade Center 7 that cannot be explained according to office fires, as NIST has attempted to do so. So we do want a new investigation.
I mean, there were the two major investigations. You mentioned one there, the NIST one. There was a Federal Emergency Management Agency one as well. All the investigations that have taken place have basically concluded the same thing, and it's very far away from what you were saying. They're saying that the building collapse was a result of the impacts of the plane and the fires that resulted from them. And that has been a consistent thing that has been said over and over again for the last decade.
It sure has been said over and over again, and each time it's a representation of fraudulent science on the part of NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They have not explained the freefall collapse of this third skyscraper on 9/11, Building 7, which begins at 520. Now, this is a 47-story skyscraper that wasn't hit by an airplane. It falls suddenly, smoothly, consistently, straight down, symmetrically, as fast as a bowling ball falling off the top of this building. Now, this can't happen by office fires, especially the small office fires that were in that building. So what can account for a free-fall acceleration? The only thing that can account for it is the removal of those columns all at once, 80 columns on up to 8 floors, because that's the distance over which this free fall period happens. So NIST acknowledges, finally, after being forced into a corner, that this building fell that fast, after previously denying that it could have, because that would mean they said there'd be no structure. So when they do acknowledge this, they do not acknowledge the implications of that, which means that those columns had to have been removed explosively. That's the only way you can take out all the columns on a given floor within a tenth of a second of each other. Otherwise, the building begins to tip over 47 stories.
I mean, I've got in front of me, and I'm sure you've read this before, it's from the NIST website. It's answers to frequently asked questions, and it is actually from several years ago, but it's still up there, it's still being viewed. 14 questions, 14 conspiracy theories, some people would call them, and 14 answers here to by NIST explaining why what you are saying is actually not true. And the last one is actually about WTC7, the World Trade Center 7. They said they're looking into it, and the investigations continue.
Well, no, actually, they said they looked into it. They will not look into it anymore. And for 8 years, they were fumbling this football. They do not explain how a building can fall as fast as a bowling ball falling off the top of it without the use of explosives. They do not even deal with it, and they're done with it. They won't debate us. They won't answer this straightforward set of questions. They just won't deal with it.
Do you think that reason is because actually there is, as you say, 1,000 people in your, 1,000 architects and engineers in your organization, but many, many, many other architects and engineers that actually do agree with their assessment?
Well, there may be about 2 or 3 dozen in the world that are actively supporting the official story, the official conspiracy theory, that these fundamentalist hijackers brought down these buildings with airplanes, not Building 7, of course. That's a different kind of a story. But when architects and engineers around the world, we give these presentations to groups of 100 to 700 in 21 foreign countries now, almost all the architects and engineers who end up seeing the evidence which we're presenting, which they did not see, in fact, most of them knew nothing about the third worst structural failure in modern history, World Trade Center 7. When they see it coming down in the exact manner of a classic controlled demolition, they agree with us. They end up, most of them, signing our petition. The problem is that they haven't even seen the evidence. They haven't seen the molten metal in the base, in the basement, or in the debris pile of World Trade Center 7. Evidence of temperatures that exceed what office fires can produce by a factor of 2. There's molten iron flowing like lava. The first responders see it. The structural engineers see it. The cleanup workers see it. It's well documented, and yet NIST denies it. Why? Because they can't account for temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit, the melting point of steel or iron. These office fires can only get to be about 600, maybe 1,200 degrees. We have a huge problem with the official story here.
What are the implications of this? I mean, why is it so important to you? There was a terrorist attack and many innocent people died, whether there were explosions there or there was a plane. How those buildings fell, why does it make a difference?
Because we went to war based on the events of 9/11. 1 million people have been killed in the Middle East. 5,000 U.S. soldiers have been killed. We've lost our civil liberties through legislation. If 9/11 was something different than what we were sold, and I assure you that it is, the forensic evidence is overwhelming for the explosive demolition of these buildings, then the roots of these wars are in deep question. And a new investigation that lets the chips fall where they may, that pursues the truth wherever it leads, will unravel the reasons that we're at war in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's not our agenda at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We don't have conspiracy theories. We're calling for a new investigation based on this forensic evidence. It's very technical evidence. In the case of the Twin Towers, for instance, we were told that this upper section above the point of jet plane impacts, this 12-story section of building, drove the rest of the building down due to structural weakening by fire. But that's not what the videos show. What they show is that this upper section is telescoping in on itself. It's collapsing in on itself in such that in 4 seconds it is completely gone, a mini-controlled demolition, if you will. After that, what we see is the rest of the building tearing itself apart and at nearly free-fall acceleration. In 12 seconds, these mammoth buildings, which were over-designed by a factor of 5, are completely destroyed down to their individual structural elements. There are 4-ton perimeter wall units that are hurled at 80 miles an hour laterally up to that speed, landing 600 feet away.
If I could read you a few quotes. The first is from George W. Bush, and I'm sure you've heard it before. He says, "Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th, malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty." To President Barack Obama in power today, "Let us be clear. Al-Qaeda killed nearly 3,000 people on that day. The victims were innocent men, women, and children." He continues, "These are not opinions to be debated. These are facts to be dealt with." How Do you respond, and have you responded to comments like this over the last 10 years?
Yes, the facts to be dealt with must be 50% of the evidence that NIST has not even put forward, that President Obama may not even be aware of. The official conspiracy theory is the outrageous theory because it does not account for an extraordinary range of evidence that we see in the debris of the World Trade Center Twin Towers, such as the fact that the U.S. Geological Survey finds in all of the dust samples throughout Lower Manhattan in this blanket of about 4-inch thick pulverized concrete, they find what amounts to billions of previously molten iron microspheres. In every sample, up to 7 or 6% of some of the samples on top of the Deutsche Bank building or inside the Deutsche Bank building are composed of these small iron spheres. How did the fact that they're spherical indicates that they were molten. Molten iron, once again, takes 2,800 degrees to begin to form. And where does the iron come from? You see, structural steel buildings, we don't use iron. Iron's a component, but these are not steel. They're elemental iron, these spheres. So they have the evidence also in them of thermite. Now, thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. This produces molten iron as its byproduct. And so this molten iron spheres, which are ejected as a result of the explosive nature of what's going on in these towers, this would atomize the molten iron. That's the only rational explanation how they got there, and they have no other explanation.
They say, I mean, they do have an explanation, for example, for the high temperatures. Looking through the report, they explain why the planes coming in at that amount of heat would bring down the pillars to 10% of their normal strength and things like that. I mean, obviously, this isn't a technical conversation. Maybe for many of our viewers, they might not, you know, get to grips with that. But the point is that these politicians and these reports are giving technical information to explain what has happened.
What you've just cited, though, is not technical information or fact. It's a myth. The jet fuel is a hydrocarbon. It can burn no hotter than desks or chairs. It can only get to be about 1,200 or 1,600 degrees Fahrenheit. Molten iron, which the government, the U.S. government, has documented in all of the World Trade Center dust, is more than twice that temperature. Where did it come from? They do not have a speculation about that. The only theory that makes any sense is that it came from the byproduct of thermite, especially since these spheres have manganese, aluminum, iron, and other elements that are the byproduct, the key signature of thermite. And in fact, an international team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen finds in all four samples that they collected from all of this dust in various places at various times, some 10 minutes later after the collapses, some on top of a high rise, they find small red-gray chips of nanothermite. These are red on one side, gray on the other. The red side is composed of iron oxide and aluminum powder. What's that? That is thermite. It's intimately mixed, and it's in the perfect proportion to become thermite, and they're at the nano scale. These are 1,000 times smaller than the human hair, these particles. They are made only in the most advanced defense contracting laboratories. Should not be in all the World Trade Center dust.
Is then what you're implying that the military was involved in this, that the U.S. government was involved in this? Do you see why for many, many Americans who had to suffer through that day, that would be a very hard, bitter pill to swallow, and one that they would find actually quite offensive?
I can imagine. But wouldn't we want to know the truth wherever it leads? And we're not implying anything. We note that such high-tech nanothermite composite explosives or pyrotechnics are made only in the most sophisticated defense contracting laboratories. But does that mean we should put blinders on and not go looking? We find these materials in the dust. They're peer-reviewed in a Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. It stands uncontested for the last year and a half. Shouldn't we at least acknowledge the reality that it was found in the dust and see and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, this is America. We want to get to the truth. The victims lost in the Twin Towers disaster, over 3,000, almost 3,000 of them, deserve the truth. The healing for their families, of their families, will only happen as a result of truth, not sweeping the truth under the rug. And that's why we have several 9/11 victims' family members supporting us, actively engaged, and signed on to our petition as well.
How does it feel to be called a conspiracy theorist?
There are some who use that term, conspiracy theorist. And it's uncomfortable, I suppose, because the only people who call us that are people who want to stop the debate, who want to stop the thinking process, who do not want to look at the evidence. They do not want the evidence seen in public. So these are people who have something to hide or something to deny or some fear that they haven't faced. The people who are facing these fears and actually look at the evidence squarely come inevitably to the indisputable conclusion that all three of these World Trade Center high-rises were brought down in an explosive demolition. And NIST never looked at it. They only examined the possibility that these three skyscrapers were brought down by fire and jet plane impacts in the case of the towers. When the most likely hypothesis, given the hundreds of witnesses that heard explosions, that saw flashes of light, and I'm talking over 118 first responders in that amount, these witnesses, their stories, their accounts of these explosions are not a part of the official story. They've been washed clean of these NIST reports, and that's one of the reasons we call them fraudulent, because they completely ignore much of this evidence that we've been talking about today.
Many political activists, many well-known scholars, people that are respected, like Noam Chomsky, not necessarily, for example, for being pro-American government or pro-policy of people in the United States, actually don't agree with these kind of theories that are brought forward. They say there is no reason the United States government or military or any aspect there would partake in any involvement in 9/11. They were not winners in the situation.
I can't make people look at the evidence squarely. I can present it like we're doing in this tour from Ireland to Scotland to Wales to England and to the Netherlands on this tour. That's an extraordinary show of support for the evidence. And most people are in a state of shock. And so then we have a discussion, well, why didn't I know about this? How could that have been kept a secret? All of these discussions, you know, who could have done this to us? We don't have those kinds of conspiracy theories. So people have to pick up the ball and move it forward down the field to get to the bottom of what really happened on 9/11.
It's very interesting, as the years have gone on from 2001, actually, poll after poll has showed that more of the public have started to doubt what has happened on September the 11th. One of the more recent polls was in 2008. They polled 17 countries. They showed that only 9 of those countries showed a majority of people believing that Al-Qaeda was behind the September 11th attack. Overall, about 15%, so still a good minority, believed it was the US government, 7% Israel. There was some differences between the countries. For example, in Germany, about a quarter thought that the US government was behind it. In Mexico, 30% did. Do you find now that these theories are now becoming more accepted by the public? And why are they? Why are people starting to doubt the official line?
Well, this evidence, first of all, is overwhelmingly indisputable, as we said. So once people do look at it, they tend to be really upset. When they deal with their anger, their fear, their denial, they start working into getting active. And they start talking to their friends. They start emailing the AE911truth.org link, our website, to other architects, engineers, and elected representatives and media officials. So this word is the truth about 9/11 is definitely working its way through the population. And you can feel when you talk to people out on the street or wherever, that there's more receptivity than there was 5 years ago when I started. I mean, I for 4 years after 9/11, I didn't have a clue that there was any alternative theory. When I heard this on the radio one day on my way to a construction observation meeting, I was just floored. I heard David Ray Griffin on the radio. He was talking about all of this evidence for the explosive demolition, including the hundreds of witnesses of explosions. And I'm going, what are you talking about? I would have heard about this by now. I mean, this is 4 years after 9/11. And sure enough, I looked around and there was no other architects or engineers talking about this, maybe one or two. And so there was scholars for 9/11 truth. There was pilots for 9/11 truth. There were several other organizations, but no architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. So that's when I knew I had to do something. So I took the presentation a few weeks later to the firm that I worked for, 15 architects, all of whom thought I was nuts before. But I bought them pizza, I got them into the room, I showed them the evidence in 45 minutes, and all of them agreed with me afterward. Oh my God, you're right, this is a controlled demolition. They all signed my petition except one. He was Middle Eastern and didn't want to take those risks at that time. So that's how persuasive the evidence is. And now we have 1,500. So how many architects and engineers does it take to alert our government and the media to take this seriously? Wake up from the denial. Wake up from the fear of facing the reality that these buildings were, in fact, blown up, in literally. So
why has it become, if I may come in here, why has it become so important to you now to do this?
Do I want to live in a false reality and pretend that everything's okay, that my government, through NIST, the agency who told us these buildings came down by fires, do I want to live in a world where the truth is a lie and the lie is a truth? No, I don't have a choice. There was no choice when I heard about this information. I had to speak it. And so I've been speaking about it for 5 years now, and now we have 40 to 50 volunteers, many of which are 20 to 40 hours a week. We're speaking all over the world. We're supported as a nonprofit organization to get this word out. We've got a book coming out in July. We're very, very active.
Do you think now, if there was another investigation into what happened, and they found actually that there was no explosion and they agreed with the previous two investigations that have taken place, would you accept that? Will there be any point at which you will say, okay, actually that is what happened?
Sure.
And it's been proven.
Yes, if we have an investigation that analyzes all of the evidence that we've talked about today, that uses the scientific method in that analysis, that uses immunity to bring witnesses forward and encourage them to talk, that uses testimony taken under oath, an unimpeachable investigation that we can have faith in, we believe that such an investigation will unleash the truth to the American people en masse. And if it fails, we'll just see what happens next.
Well, on that note, I guess we will have to wait and see. I'd like to thank you very much, Richard Gage, for joining us, founding member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That was this edition of Face to Face, coming to you from London. Thanks for joining us.